to know Linda Leckerman over the years. She's a lay person here in our congregation, and she's often spoken about the sermon. So we're excited that this morning she'll be sharing with us. And so I'd like to invite Linda to come on up, and we're excited to hear what the Lord has to say through Linda this morning. So why don't we give her a warm welcome.
What I'm going to share is what I've been eating off of a plate of over the last month. So I'm really excited about that, and I hope that you'll be blessed with that. And I even have props. More interesting. Okay. All right. I pray that you're all going to benefit from this message today, because if you don't need to hear it, I certainly do. So I'm going to be talking about faith today and how to stand on our faith and how it can impact our everyday lives. So I'll just open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you that we can gather together and worship you and praise you. And Lord, right now we just want to open up our hearts to receive something from you, Lord. We want you to do heart surgery today, Lord. We want you to come inside and fix what's wrong, address what's ugly, Lord, and to encourage us and bless us. And Lord, whatever you focus on, may we just surrender that to you, whatever needs to change. And Lord, we just thank you for the joy that you give us and for the conviction that your word brings. Because, Lord Jesus, we just don't want to leave here the way we came in. We want to come leave changed. By the power of your Holy Spirit, we ask and we thank you for it. Thank you for everyone that's here, and I believe everyone that is here is on purpose by your design. And I just pray that the message would bless them. Amen. All right. Okay. All right. What is this? Yeah, that's right. Okay, let's say you have a headache. All right, who here believes that by drinking this bottle that your headache's going to go away? Anybody? No? Does anyone want to say why not?
Why not?
Sure.
Anybody have an idea why it wouldn't work? Okay, there's no believers in this, that if you drink this bottle of Gatorade, the headache's going to go away, correct? Someone's whispering there, they're getting ideas, okay. Okay, this one's a little shorter. Okay. Who here believes that if you have a headache and you take a couple of Advil, that your headache's going to go away? Okay, there we go. All right. Okay. Why or why not? Any thoughts?
Because it's worked in the past.
There you go. It's worked in the past. You have experience with this. You can see it. You can hear it. And when you take it, your aches and pains go away. Amen? And on the other hand, all this will do for you is give you a lot of energy. But actually, in truth, I was looking up old wives' tales for headaches. This actually does have the ability to take away a headache. Did you know that? Because it's loaded with caffeine and sugar. And as we know, when you wake up in the morning, you have a headache, you have a cup of coffee, and then the headache goes away, right? But it can also trigger headaches. So it's not good for you. But there you go. So here you go. Most of you just said, no, I don't believe it. But it actually does have some benefits. So next time you're asked, you'll say, or you can say, yeah, you know what, maybe, right? But anyways, we know the pills work. All right. So if I could have that first slide up. I'm going to start with Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For those who come to him must believe that he is, and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. Amen? So, What does that tell us right off the bat? That if we don't have faith, we will not please God. If we do have faith, we bring him pleasure. Amen? And that he rewards those who diligently seek him, not those who sloppily seek him. Basically, God expects two things from us in this verse. He expects us to be serious, and he expects us to look with all of our hearts, and that without faith it's impossible to please him. So keep that in mind. And before I really begin, I want to stress one important thought. Our faith in God is a very, very big deal to him. I don't think there's a single book in the entire Bible that doesn't mention or have something to do with faith. And faith does not change God. It changes us. Amen? It changes us. As we grow in faith, we come up higher. We begin trusting God more and trusting him more often and trusting him with, all of our lives as opposed to just sections of our life. Okay? It is not my faith that moves the hands of God. But our faith does bring him pleasure in a way we can't fully understand, and our faith does have an impact on our situations. It's the framework that we are to live in. I know there's been a lot of talk about word faith movement, that a lot of people say that if I confess something, I will have it. There is truth to that in part, but it can't be just words that we take out of the Bible and try and make them give us what we want. It has to do with our confessions that will be lined up with the Word of God, but also inspired by the Holy Spirit. And that is very powerful. Very powerful indeed. So, even Mark 11:23 says, if anyone says to this mountain, Jesus said, if anyone says to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that what he says will come to pass, he'll have whatsoever he shall say. That's pretty astounding when you think of what Jesus said there. And that if our faith was as small as a mustard seed, we could say to this mountain, move. And when we were in Israel, we actually went to an event where they were talking about this very aspect of faith. And they showed us a mustard seed. Does anyone know how big a mustard seed is? No, it's smaller, actually. Jordan's going with it. Okay, it's actually the dot of an eye. Like when you dot your eye with a pen, that's how small it is. And yet it grows into a big tree, right? If we had faith that small, we could say to that mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. It's amazing. So here's point number one. What does your faith look like to you? What does your own faith look like to you? What does your faith look like to God? Something to think about there. All right, does it look like the Gatorade faith that says it might work, it might not work, and it doesn't work at all? I'm not going to believe in that. It's never going to happen. Why believe in that? It's just too hard. And it's not going to work anyway. Is your faith like the ibuprofen faith that says, I'll believe it only if I see it? Seeing is believing, right? A lot of people are like that. If I can't touch it, if I can't make noise with it, I can't experience that physical thing, I'm not going to believe it, right? Okay? So, most people love to give God credit for something that's happened in their lives, right? We all have a testimony. We love a good testimony, don't we? We just love it when people can build us up and, wow, God did that. Yes, great. Okay? But the only problem with that is if you have a testimony, you've got to have a test. And most people only have ammonies after they go through a test. Right, Mario? What's your fact? Okay, I'm picking on my son-in-law. Anyways, you might have heard that before, but we have to go through a test to have a testimony, right? So, the reason we can believe in God at all is because that everyone in this room has already been given the free gift of faith. Everybody in this room has been given the free gift of faith. You have mountain-moving faith inside. You have God inside, which means you have everything that God is inside. And I believe that when you're called to use it, God will enable you to do these feats of faith. Because he is the one who's orchestrating in the first place, led by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Whether or not you use your faith or exercise your faith is an entirely different matter. Faith is just like a muscle. If you don't exercise it, it won't get bigger. Faith must be exercised. So how do we do that? I mean, life gives us plenty of opportunities, doesn't it, to exercise our faith. So we read the Bible and are greatly encouraged by the great accounts of faith. But remember that history is not written in reverse. We see it after the fact. Amen? Everything we see in the Bible has already happened. But we must remember how long those people waited and how long those people persevered. I mean, Abraham waited for 25 years to get the son promised. He was 75 when he got the promise and 100 when he got Isaac, and look how he messed up it. I'm sorry. Yeah, it was Isaac, right? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Okay. And it took him a long time to wait. And they messed up in between by trying to detour God's plan, you know, by Ishmael and Hagar and all that mess. Not that the child was a mess, but yeah. He waited 25 years. So, when we're waiting for God to give us what we're believing for, it develops our confidence in who God is, not just on what God does. Amen? So the second slide here says Hebrews 11:1. You guys like English? You're very quiet. Okay, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of that which is not seen. I love this because it shows something very important. I was walking on the dike one day, and I was praying to God, and I was just mulling this verse over my head over and over again, and it just all of a sudden struck me, like my eyes were opened, and it was, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of that which is not seen. What is evidence? Evidence is proof. Amen? Evidence in a court case is the maker or the breaker of the case. Your faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of that which is not seen. Right? So basically, faith is invisible, but that doesn't mean that it's not there. Okay? Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. It's invisible. And the only time you see it, faith in action, is when you're exercising it. And usually that means stepping out of the boat like Peter did, right? Jesus said, come to me on the water. And it's a ghost. And Peter was the only one who stepped out of the boat with his eyes on Jesus and started to walk towards Jesus with his eyes glued on Jesus. And as soon as he looked to the sides, he started to sink. And Jesus said, oh, you have little faith, and grabbed him, right? His eyes had to be glued on Jesus. He was doing the miraculous. He was walking on water. I mean, how cool is that? Right? And you know what? It helps me whenever I have to believe for something and I'm believing for something big, or like even something small, or even preaching. I could get very upset or very kind of nervous or anxious. I'm like, no, I'm getting out of the boat. I'm just going to get out of the boat. The boat is where safety is. You can feel it. You know, I don't have to worry about sinking because I see the boat. When we get out of the boat, okay, and I'm just going to walk towards you, Jesus, and I just release it. I just release my faith there. I just go forward. So here we go. Here's another prescription. Hey, it's faith. Anything in here?
Lots.
No? Does it look like it's for pretty empty, right? Actually, it's not, though. It is full. It is full of faith. Okay? And this just happens to be my faith. Actually, it can be anybody's faith, but okay. So here it goes. To the natural eye, there's nothing in it. So here's the prescription. I'll just read what's on the label. It was prescribed by Jesus. What's in it? It's faith. And what is in here? The substance of things hoped for, but not seen. Okay. The cost is free. It's prescribed for who? For whosoever will believe. If you don't want to believe in this, this is not for you. You may as well just leave it on the shelf. You're going to have to believe. The dosage, take daily for healing, life decisions, finances, children, unsafe loved ones, the future, and all other challenges not listed. Refills, free. Strength, all-powerful God. An expiry date, the second coming of Jesus. Right? Okay, so there we go. So I already talked about evidence. You can put on the third slide. That's kind of, I don't know if you can see that. Can you see it? It's kind of, maybe you can shut these lights off. There we go. It's not the best quality. Land ho, I can see our destination straight ahead. I don't see anything. Okay, so in the scripture of 2 Corinthians, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And he's looking through the lens of faith. And that's basically how we've got to go forward, is we've got to look at everything through the lens of faith. Otherwise, we don't see anything at all, right? But the person that doesn't want this, they're not going to benefit from that. Okay, so we all believe we have faith, right? So how do we use it? How do we use our faith? Okay. Let's say I need a new job. Let's say we need healing for a loved one. Let's say we need a new place to live, or maybe I'm looking for my soulmate, or that God will impact my kids. So how do we use our faith? And I believe this. You might not agree, but I do believe this. I believe we've got to release our faith. And all I'm saying is it's not a formula or a doctrine or anything. It's just drawing a line in the sand. It's having faith for something, for a purpose, on purpose. That's what I believe it is, releasing my faith. When I say I've released my faith, I've gotten out of the boat. It's an action in your heart that you actually take. You young people that are maybe going to college, I don't know, or you're in college, or you're working, or you've got young families, whatever. You're going to need a lot of faith over the next few years if you want God to direct you, you know. Again, it's believing in what we can't see, but he will direct you if you acknowledge him. So you ask, you say, "Hey, Lord, I don't know what to do about this job. I'm going to believe that you're going to, I need a job, you're going to provide a job for me. So I'm releasing my faith that you're going to get me a job, Lord. And I ask you to shut doors that I'm not to go through. I ask you to open doors that I am to go through." And then when the opportunity presents itself, you say, "Okay, God, I believe I've received from you. I've released my faith, and I'm going to go forward. And if I'm wrong in any way, just shut the door." Because there is no door that the enemy shuts that God can't open, and there is no door that God shuts that, or God opens that the enemy can close. He will make a way. Amen? So it means that we won't compromise. It's faith on purpose for a purpose. James 2:26 says this, "As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." Now, who here has seen a dead person? A dead body, actually. Yeah, okay. Some of us, it's not that popular anymore. It used to be that you always had to file by the coffin, right? I mean, and these this person, I mean, there is no doubt about it. They are dead. They are not home. There is nobody in that coffin but what remains. Amen? When you think about it, I'm looking at your spirit. I'm looking at Heather's spirit. I'm looking at everybody's spirit, you know? Because if that spirit wasn't there, they'd be dead. Isn't that kind of cool when you think about it? But as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. So what's he talking about there in James? Or James is talking about there. He was actually referring to the prostitute that hid the spies. Hid the spies in the promised land. And she hid them because she was had more faith in Israel's God than the enemy's gods that she was living in. And so it was accounted unto her as righteousness and faith, because she hid them, because she was proven by her faith by what she did. Does this mean we've got to be in works all the time? No. It just means you've got to be actively moving forward in the area of keeping your faith for something nurtured, as I would say. Right now, the Ardens and the Letkemans are going through, some challenges with Jeff's health, and we have decided to park ourselves in a position of faith to believe for complete healing. We've decided to step out of the boat. We've decided, by an act of our will, that we're going to believe God no matter what. And we're going to keep on doing what we need to keep on doing until God tells us to stop. Amen? We will do what God tells us to do, when he tells us to do it, how he tells us to do it, until he tells us not to do it anymore. Right? That's where we need to stay. So it's keeping our eye of faith on God. It's keeping God's promises in front of us. It's exercising our faith. Amen? And the enemy will bring pressure to doubt. It's not if. It's just when. You can better believe it. No matter what you're stepping out in faith for, the enemy will come and try to have you cast down your faith. And it is possible to cast down your faith, because Hebrews 10, 35 and 36 tell us not to. Don't cast down your faith, which is great recompense and reward. But after having done the promise, after having done the will of God, you may receive the promise. So if he tells us not to, it's possible too. Amen? Okay, so here we go. This is where our text comes in. Habakkuk was a unique prophet. He had a long way ahead of him, and that's not to say we will, but he did. Most of the time, the prophets went to the people on behalf of God, but this was the one prophet who went to God on behalf of the people. And he was actually quite put out with God. He actually had a quite a brazen talk with him, which I wouldn't do, personally. He asked the question, if you were really in control, God, why does evil so often win? What was happening at that time was that Judah was about to be conquered by the Babylonian army. And it was inevitable. I mean, God had warned them for countless prophets before to repent, repent, repent. I don't want to do this. Like a good parent, right? We don't want to give our kids a timeout or smack them or whatever. But nope, they decided no. So now Habakkuk is in the position now. Babylon is about to take over. But Habakkuk's problem was, the Babylonian army is way worse than we are. How come you're using an evil nation to punish us? He just didn't think that was quite right. He struggled to understand how God sometimes works, just like we do. Just like we do. We don't have all the answers. So you can put up PowerPoint number 4. These are some of the crises of belief facing us in Habakkuk. Okay? Faith forces you to define your present relationship with God. Faith invites you to step into the future without understanding the present. Faith trusts God when evil forces seem to have defeated him. Faith sees God at work when sight sees only the enemy. Faith sings praises for victories not yet won. And faith continues in dialogue with God when all the answers seem unacceptable. And in the end, however, Habakkuk became convinced that he could trust God no matter what, and no matter how bleak or confusing the circumstances appeared to be. The answer to what Habakkuk finally discovered is found in Habakkuk 2, verse 4b. But the righteous will live by his faith. This is a really, really important verse. Habakkuk is just a little prophet, you know, three chapters long, yet that one phrase is quoted three times in the New Testament. The righteous will live by his faith. So what did he mean by that? You know, we accept Jesus into our heart and we're saved. And we're actually living by faith because that gift of faith was already planted in your heart when you accepted him, because you're trusting him for your eternity. Right? So, but how do we live by faith? When we face a situation that challenges our faith, we tend to take the position to hang on until our circumstances change. So we go, it's done. Yay, hooray. Okay, now I can let go. I can be happy. I don't have to, like, be in this uncomfortable position of believing for something and worried. Or am I worried? Right? Do I want to touch it, feel it, like, to make sure? Or do I have the, do I just take one of these? Right? Okay, so he is quoted three times in the New Testament. I want to just expound on living by faith. It's an ever-moving forward attitude that doesn't stop when we get our answer. It's not comfortable, but it gets easier the more we do it. Our faith walk needs to be as much a part of us as breathing. And not just when things are challenging, but when things are going good as well. So notice, too, that the just shall live by faith and not by feeling, right? Because the enemy does bring pressure. And very often, you know, feelings change with the weather. But the thing is, that's when we have to reframe our picture. We have to have a chat with ourselves and do a checkup from the neck up, as they say, I've heard. You know, have a chat with yourself and say, no, devil, I don't take that thought. You know how much warfare goes on? I think the reason why I know so much about this is because, I'll just tell you, I deal with depression and anxiety. So this is the place I go to. It's the Word of God. This is a spiritual battlefield. I can do what I need to do. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, no matter what's going on with me physically, emotionally, or anything that's in my body. Whoa. Now that's casting down your faith, right? You're not, thanks, man. Lucky it's invisible. It didn't break. So anyways, it needs to be as much a part of us as breathing, and not just when things are challenging. I've said that. Okay. We can't live by feelings. We got to talk back to those feelings. That the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I say that so often, because that's his job description. And Jesus says, I have come that you might have life, and have it to the abundant, to the full and overflowing. That is the life I want. And if Jesus died to give it to me, there may be a reason that I am the way I am, but I have no right to stay that way. Amen? There may be a reason that you've got problems in your life. Very, very good reasons that are not even your fault. But that doesn't mean that you have a right to sit there and feel sorry for yourself for your whole life, because Jesus didn't die so that you could stay there and feel sorry for yourself. He died so you could have victory in and through those problems. The victory is yours. The battle is the Lord's. That's why the Bible says that when we put on the full armor of God, we put on the breastplate of righteousness and the shield of faith and the belt of truth and our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace and the helmet of salvation. And having done all to stand, run out and meet the enemy? No. Having done all to stand, stand firm, therefore. We just have to stand. It's God who does the battle, but we hold up the shield of faith to what? Quench the flaming arrows of the enemy. And the reason why they said that, because in warfare times, they used to soak their shields, or the enemy used to send arrows with fire on the end. So they soaked their shields in water, and that must have been heavy, right? Oh, I just see it. Anyway, so yeah, that's to quench all the flaming arrows of the enemy. And those enemies, if you don't have that shield up, what happens? You get hit with the flaming arrow. You go down pretty quick. That's why the Bible tells us, hold up the shield of faith. Amen? Amen? Okay, the righteous will live by his faith. Okay, let's just go back to the very, just about closing here. Here's Habakkuk 3:16, and I really, really like this. He knew the Babylonians were going to come and attack Judah, and he said this: I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Sounds like he's pretty afraid, doesn't it? Sounds like he's wavering, doesn't it? But the thing is, he's not. Feeling fear and the temptation to doubt doesn't mean you are afraid and doubting. And I want to, this is really important, because I always thought that if God was going to deliver me from fear, that I would never feel it again and I would have conquered it. That's not the case. Fear will always try and come on you. We live on a cursed planet, a fallen planet. These things will always try and come on you. But the thing is, you don't have to take them. You don't have to receive them. It's just like when a sinful thought presents itself to you, you haven't sinned yet. It's what you do with that thought. And we all get them. It's just like, no, that's ridiculous. You know, Satan, go to hell, right? That's what I say. Anyways. it's true, though. That doesn't mean we are afraid, are in doubt. Habakkuk did not sin by saying what he said. God appreciates honesty. He appreciates that you say, God, Lord, I'm sinking here. Help me, 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 help me. I don't want to sing, I'm going to keep my eyes on you, okay? It's funny, when I was preparing for this sermon, I was going through my cookbook looking for something, and one of my cookbooks had all these little quips on the bottom of each recipe, and they're not particularly religious, but they are kind of interesting. And I just happened to look at one, and it said this: I know God wouldn't give me more than I can handle. I just wish he didn't trust me so much. Amen? Does that sound familiar? He said, Lord, this is really heavy. I don't know if I can. Oh, no, he must trust us with a lot right then. Okay, so Habakkuk goes on to say, right? You heard him. It sounds like he's being afraid. So I already mentioned our family's faith walk, as well as the RDs are being challenged with the recent change in Jeff's health. And this topic of faith is still very important, because it's where we've just chosen to park ourselves. We are believing for healing, but frankly, we don't know what that will look like. And neither do you when it comes to everything you're believing. God rarely answers questions the way I think he'll answer them, but he does answer them. It's yes, no, or wait a while. A personal peeve of mine is when people said that God didn't answer. Like, he didn't hear me at my prayer, or my prayer was answered finally. God answers every time you pray. Every time you pray, you have a response. Yes, no, and wait a while. Right? We just want yes right away, simply, or no. We don't want to wait. Okay? So, years ago, I was always in confusion. I landed in confusion waiting for healing, which often causes us to draw back from believing God for big things. Because during the wait, we start to compromise, right? We start to think, this, that, and the other. And was that person following the Lord? And there's a whole bunch of stuff that comes in there. But I finally heard this from a preacher, and I'll never forget it. And I decided it's going to be a model of my life. I will not compromise what I do know about healing for what I don't know about healing. We don't have all the answers, but I'm not going to compromise what I do know. You know, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospered. Are any of you sick, then call upon the elders of the church to anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. The word says healing all over. I'm going to choose to just stand and believe on that. I mean, there's two games in town, people. There's God and Satan. Let's just believe big or go home, right? So, and to close this, I just wanted to say with Habakkuk, the righteous will live by his faith. In Romans, Paul emphasizes the just. In Galatians, Paul emphasizes faith. In Hebrews, the writer emphasizes shall live. So in actuality, the literal rendering in Habakkuk's context is, by his faith, the just shall live. Amen? So get this. So he just finishes lamenting about decay in his bones and how, what did he say again? My heart pounded, my lips quivered at the sound. That's the sound of the Babylonian army approaching in spirit. They weren't actually physically there yet, but he knew it. My legs trembled. And you know what he says right after that? He says this, yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls. Sounds pretty grim, doesn't it? Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights, and that's the end of the book. I think it's just beautiful. It's just how appropriate that he should end the book like this. Although it looked like all hope was gone, he was fully convinced that God was utterly faithful when things seemed hopeless. To rejoice during disaster seems like being in a river in Egypt. Denial? Come on. Okay, so I'm a little bit slower, okay? You know, whenever I hear that, sometimes some people are like, I don't know, he's in a river in Egypt. It's denial. Anyways, sounds like he's in denial there. But to rejoice during a disaster seems like denial and totally inappropriate if one looks only at present circumstances. Faith in God adds a new dimension to look beyond present troubles, that even when things seem hopeless, our all-powerful God will eventually restore us. So here we are. What are you believing God for today? As everyone, whether you're in a problem or coming out of a problem, I don't mean to be negative, but you'll be heading into a problem. There's always something going on, right? We don't live. We usually spend much more time going up the mountain, down the mountain, up the mountain, than at the top and at the bottom. It's always this ongoing process of faith. I don't know what you're believing for, but will Gatorade deliver it? Right? Is your faith like this going, probably won't happen, or I don't believe it can happen? You know, you may as well believe God for really, really big things. Why not? What have you to lose? Ask for big things. We serve a big God. Really big God. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He owns it all. And that's just the world. But you may as well ask for big. The worst you can get is no, and that's what you have now anyways. Right? I'd rather ask God for a lot and get some of what I ask for than to ask Him for nothing and get everything that I ask for. Right? So will ibuprofen deliver it? I'm only going to believe God if I can see evidence of it starting to happen? Or will your Jesus brand of faith deliver it? And the answer is, God is only going to give you what is best for you anyways. So you win hands down no matter what. Amen? He only has the best for us planned. Be encouraged. Whatever it is, God's got this. And no matter what happens, God can be trusted to give you only the best He has planned for you. And again, I already mentioned this, but for some reason, I think it's important to say it again. There's no door that the enemy can open if God has shut it. And there's no door the enemy can shut if God has opened it. God can open doors that are shut. He says, I'll never be able to go there. You don't know that until you pray and walk forward. By your faith, you shall live. Amen. Let's pray. And Jordan, you can come up. The worship team can come up. Lord, I thank you for this word. And I pray that I got out of the way enough for you to speak. Lord, I pray that people receive from you today, that they would come up higher in the area of faith, Lord, that without faith it's impossible to please you. For those who come to you must believe that you are and that you reward those who diligently seek you. And that's what we want to be, Lord, diligent people who seek you in every situation, for every situation. Lord, that we can be vessels that we can flow through to others and for ourselves, Lord. We just pray that you would build up our faith, build up our most holy faith, Lord. as we encounter you more and more and more through our daily lives, Lord, let's believe you for everything, because it's by faith we shall.